You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Ooh, what is up, Bison fans? Welcome to this number one versus number two edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast, brought to you by Fargo Basketball Academy and Shoot 360. Joining me on such a momentous occasion on a game day Thursday, though not coming to the game, not coming to alumni night, not doing a lot of things that he should be doing, Mr. Nate Zastrow. Nate, how are you?
We're doing well. It's a big night for Bison Hoops, bringing in the conference leader, and hopefully they can pack the shack and get it rocking tonight for a team that's playing really well.
Yeah, they are playing well. And, I give Nate a hard time, but he's coming next weekend, allegedly. So it may not be alumni night, but he will come next week and you know. Maybe I'll stop complaining at that point. I don't know. We'll see. As far as the news, I would guess about 60 to 70% of the people listening to this podcast, if you're listening to this podcast, you're diehard. And if you're a diehard, you probably know that Dom Jones and Courtney Eubanks, both defensive backs, probably your starting right cornerback and your starting free safety next year, have hit the transfer portal. Both of them looking to join Marquis Siegel from last year's secondary in the ranks of the FBS. And we'll see how that goes. Courtney played more than Marquis, but Marquis definitely has more of an FBS frame. We'll see how that one goes. And obviously Dom Jones, not a full-time player. Did not crack the starting lineup and start over, Dawson Weber or Michael Tutsi, but a very promising young player that made a lot of plays and I think would have been a pretty key or pretty big contributor for NDSU in the 2023 season, but neither will likely be available for the Bison. Folks, are allowed to exit the transfer portal and go back to their universities, but that has not yet been something we've seen, frankly, with Bison football or Bison men's basketball. So either of these two student athletes doing it would be the first time of anything that I can remember or, can remember covering. Exciting news, though, for Bison football fans, folks that will hopefully enjoy this trip to U.S. Bank in the fall to take on Eastern Washington, folks that enjoyed the game at Target Field. I know I will remember that one for a very, very long time. A home-and-home with Tennessee State, with one of the two games being played at Nissan Stadium, home of the Titans, right there in Nashville. I believe game in 2024 in Fargo and a game in 2025 down in Music City. So that should be a riotous occasion for Bison fans, and I would assume a date that they would keep, whether they are FBS or FCS at that time. A little bit of a surprise and something that we are very, very, very excited to not report, because we're definitely not reporting it. That it has already been made quite public, is Noah Gindorf. Noah is headed to the NFL Combine, and we just we love that for him. We really do. That's big time stuff. I didn't know how that whole thing would go for Noah, just based on his, I guess, injury history. I felt like he was a fifth to a seventh round guy last year. No real guarantee of, going in the top 100 or anything like that. So for him to, miss most of this season, with an injury, and to still be one of those athletes invited to the combine, I think really tells you what NFL teams think about his long-term prospects and the type of player that he was, and the type of player, more importantly, that he can be. Folks, if you are looking for insurance or need insurance or currently have insurance, check out the guys at Tundra Insurance and see if they can do anything better for you. Call Quinn at 701-969-1661, and he'll check in with 20 different carriers to find the exact right combination of coverage and premium, coverage and rate for your business, for you, for your home, for your autos, whatever it is that you may need. Quinn at Tundra Insurance can help you out. Check them out at www.tundrainsurance.com or right south of Big Irv's on the main drag in beautiful Horace. Nate, it's that time. What a switch. For years and years, always viewing South Dakota State as the mountain to climb. Always viewing them as the number one rival. And we'll get into this, but all of a sudden there's a fist fight on the Shack floor. And maybe, and by the way, a different team at the top of the Summit League standings. And that's, how we are where we got to today. And in that, I don't know that Oral Roberts is a bigger rival of North Dakota State's. But I think this season they're probably a more important one. Without Luke Apple, without Charlie Easley, Zeke Mayo can only do so much for that young Rabbits team, and they're very good. I think especially on a neutral floor, I don't know what would be expected of a Bison versus Jackrabbits potential 2-3 matchup there on a Monday night, maybe leading into Tuesday night in Sioux Falls. But right now, it certainly seems like the real mountain to climb for the Bison is going to be this Oral Roberts club. And that starts with Max Asmus, someone we probably last year assumed we were going to see for the last time. he was not seen for the last time. He agreed to come back and play for Oral Roberts yet again. But he's the straw that stirs the drink. And he has had an interesting career against North Dakota State University, has he not, Nate Zastro?
Yeah, he's quite the player, and he's having another good year, averaging 21 a game, and he's going to get his shots up. And if he can get going, he can really, really get it going. So it's going to be important for NDSU to make things tough for him. He's going to get his shots up regardless. And I think last year they did a pretty good job on him, and I think he had three really kind of mediocre to below average games against NDSU. Really caused him problems. So it'll be important for NDSU to make sure that they give him different looks defensively, because he is a smart player and he's going to get a bunch of ball screens and opportunities to make plays. And I think the big thing is Oral Roberts has five other guys shooting above 35% from the three. So got to make sure we're not – obviously he's the main key, but they have some other guys who are shooting it pretty well this year. Got to keep Max off the line 92%. And I think Jakari's going to be the start on him, just picking him up full court like he has with the other guards. And I hope they got to show him different types of defensive scheme and not just keep showing him the same look, because he will figure it out. And hopefully they're ready to go.
Yeah. And so one question I wanted to ask you is, where does Max rank for you on opposing guys that you've seen? I think as a college player, for me, if you're starting to throw NDSU guys, like I think I'd rather have Ben than him, maybe. I think but man, after that, I'm not sure.
Maybe Nate Walters.
Yeah, maybe. And it's tough to Conchar is in that realm. For
George,
me,
George Hill, he was a little before.
Yeah, I hardly even count George Hill, just because I barely watched him play. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't count. Obviously, he's still kicking around the NBA. I have tons of respect for George Hill. I never watched him play in Fargo, certainly. I never, did any of that. Dom, obviously completely different, positions, obviously. But similar kind of terrifying impact on the game. I've mentioned it before. I mentioned it last year and got in a bunch of trouble with Jackrabbit fans. Like, I'm a lot more scared of Max than I was of Baylor. That's kind of where Max is for me. You know, like, legitimately one of the top two or three guys I've ever seen in an opposing uniform, you know, play in this league against North Dakota State.
Yeah, I think he's up there in top two, three. I think you're right on there. And I think the thing with Max is he can literally go win a game by himself. And I know he hasn't had the greatest games against NDSU, but I mean, you see some of his box scores. He can go get 40 on any given night, and sometimes there's just no stopping him. So, yeah, it'll be important to not let him hit his first couple shots and just make things tough. Because like I said, he's going to get his shots up, and we just got to make sure that they're contested. And if he hits a couple, tip your hat and do the same thing and stick to the game plan for 40 minutes.
For sure. I think everybody kind of, well, you know, obviously everybody remembers Max. I think folks probably remember Kareem Thompson, probably remember Juergens, probably remember Weaver. And certainly, I think, remember Isaac McBride. The difference to me, the two differences, because we can talk a little bit about Patrick Wamba in a little bit from the NBA Academy Africa and a transfer from UT Arlington. But who folks will, I think, really gawk at, basically, is number 35, Connor Vanover, 7'5", 227 pounds. Spoke to Andrew Morgan yesterday, kind of compared him to Chet Holmgren. Very spindly, very skilled. Doesn't handle the ball, obviously, as well as Chet, or he would have played more at Arkansas, which is where he transferred from. But Vanover is a very interesting player in that you would assume at 7'5", you know, he would probably just turn over a shoulder and sort of drop the ball in the basket. He's actually attempted 73 threes this year, shooting it just a shade under 33% from downtown. So he likes to get shots up, which is an interesting dynamic. They do handle his minutes, which I understand. 18 minutes against SDSU, 22 minutes at Denver, 22 minutes at home against Western, 26 minutes at home against St. Thomas. He will not play into the mid-30s, but when he's in there, he's impactful.
Yeah, I think I might be wrong, but I think he might have been a McDonald's All-American coming into Arkansas. I know he was pretty highly ranked, and Arkansas is obviously loaded, I think, two straight Elite Eights. So struggled to find minutes early. I mean, he is skinny, but he's very skilled. Like you said, he can shoot it to three. And I think the big thing that's kind of helped Oral Roberts take that next step is Oral Roberts was never very good defensively, but you can have a lot of things made up for when you got 7'5 sitting at the rim protecting the basket. And he's averaged 3.4 blocks a game. Their team's averaging 7. But when he goes out, they do get pretty small with Weaver. I think Mwamba or whatever, I can't pronounce his name. He's 6'7", but they lose a lot of size when he goes out of the game. So maybe, I mean, we are always taught if it's a big guy, go right through his chest and make him try to block shots or follow you. If he gets in any type of foul trouble, that's definitely going to help NDSU. But it's definitely going to be a tough matchup, and NDSU needs to be conscious of him when they're going to the basket and maybe look to get into the paint and draw the defenders and knock down some threes.
Yeah, I think, you know, from a officiating standpoint, it'll be very interested to see how Andrew Morgan is officiated, just because Vanover is going to have such a tough cover or like – it's not a great matchup for him. It's a great matchup in that, you know, Morgs is probably 6'9", 6'10", and so he has 6-7 inches on him. But Morgs is so physically strong, and if they kind of let him play a little bit, that has a chance to be a dominant advantage for North Dakota State. Now, if, you know, Morgs goes right shoulder into the chest and Vanover crumples and gets a charge call twice, all of a sudden now you're in foul trouble. So that's going to be something that's very interesting to watch. I think there's a reason to be excited, or everybody's excited about this game, but maybe a little dose of reality in that Oral Roberts is a 6.5-point road favorite in this game. They are 114th in BPI. They have been inside 100, both in the net rankings and in BPI during this season. They are 8th in the mid-major poll. And, folks, there isn't – and I know NDSU is 2nd in the Summit, and they have kind of a gross overall record as far as, like, anybody would be, you know, voting for them in the mid-major poll. But the only Summit League team even receiving votes in the whole league is Oral Roberts. And it's very clear now that the country expects Oral Roberts to win this league and go on to the NCAA tournament. Nate, what kind of puncher's chance do the Bison have here? And do you feel like at least the regular season title, because we know anything can happen in Sioux Falls, but do we think that the regular season title kind of belongs to the Golden Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing very well. They've won 8 straight, 15-4 overall. And, I mean, yeah, you look at NDSU's record, and that's probably why you have the 6.5-point spread on tonight's game for them on the road. But as we talk about throughout the whole conference season, it's kind of about matchups and schemes, and coaches know each other. And I just think NDSU kind of – has Oral Roberts' number a little bit. They know how to defend their high-powered offense, and they've had success with it the past few years for sure. And I think it's about matchups, and I think NDSU matches up well. They have guys who can defend their guards. I think Bowden will start on McBride and Jakari on Max, and hopefully they can stay out of foul trouble. I think that's going to be the big thing, is if NDSU gets in some foul trouble, could lead to some different matchups. To Javis might take on one of those guard matchups with his length. But, Oral Roberts deserves everything that they're getting right now. They're playing really well, and they're coming into a tough road environment that they've never really played well at. So hopefully NDSU can be ready and get the crowd going and get a win tonight.
I'm excited, obviously, long-term about Lance Waddles, but, like, I don't want Lance or Yoder out there defensively against McBride and Asmus if it's not for very short stretches of time. I think you're going to want to see a lot of Damari, Jakari, Bowden, and Tejavis out there wing defending, because, like I said, after that, I think Lance is probably a good enough athlete to get it defensively eventually. But he's just not where Jakari is on the defensive end of the ball right now. And Tejavis just has that length. And I'm not saying he's not technically sound, but I think, like I said, Bo, Javis, Jakari, Damari, that's your defensive backcourt tonight. And fortunately enough for NDSU, as we've been saying, they can all score it. And that's a big deal. You know, that's important to be able to play two ways specifically tonight. Last year, I mentioned this to Coach, there's some BRTVs that you'll be able to see on Bison Report as you hear this, but I talked to Coach Richmond kind of, not necessarily off the record, but just off camera, and I mentioned, hey, NDSU or Oral Roberts have ended each other's season each of the last 4 years, with Richmond getting Mills 3 times, and obviously that COVID Sweet 16 run thing by O'Banner and Asmus and Oral Roberts when NDSU had that giant comeback in the championship game, and Sam probably got fouled at the rim, but we're not going to get into all of that. But you couldn't ask for a bigger heel than Paul Mills. I go back to 3 years ago when his exiting press conference, and I actually put that press conference link up when talking about this matchup. He's very, and look, man, the way you handle the media doesn't necessarily mean what kind of person you are. You know, I'm not going to say that every coach that is short with the media is a jerk, but Paul Mills has a reputation, and it's not just with the media. It's with other people within the league. It's within other people that have worked with him that I've spoken to, like, just not a great guy. And I think you saw that obviously with the fight in Fargo. If he's a more mature human being, that thing just doesn't happen. And Richmond got him 3 times last year, got him down to Tulsa, beat him in that game, and then ended his season by 20 points. So this is, and like I said, has ended his season 3 out of the last 4 years, probably should be 4 out of the last 4 years. But again, we're not going to get into that. David Richmond has an excellent record against Paul Mills and Oral Roberts. And I think this one is one where, like, Mills probably thinks, I've got the better squad. I don't ever win in Fargo. This has a chance to be my night, damn it.
Yeah, I know they won't mention it, but there is a little bit of a heated rivalry there, and they're not going to act like anything's going on.
That's why I'm mentioning it.
but you know that they want to get this win, and as a coach, you aren't going to obviously talk about it. But yeah, you mentioned it. There's a rivalry here, and Mills, you can't tell me as a competitor that you don't know that this team and guy ended your season three of the last 4 years. So kind of a story inside the game that we'll obviously be monitoring as media people, and especially after what happened last year. So yeah, Oral Roberts, like we've talked about, they're playing well, and Paul Mills has to be happy with how they're playing, and he knows it's going to be a tough environment. They're not going to be coming in here thinking that they're going to stroll on to a victory, and I expect them to be ready to play and give NDSU their best shot.
I do too. And it's a crucial game, not only in, you know, the sense that it is number one versus number two. It's a crucial game in that we've talked so much about the fact that NDSU has banked five wins, even though five of their first seven were on the road. A lot of that can kind of unravel with a loss tonight, or could start to unravel. I don't think one home loss to the best team in the league is like catastrophic. But it kind of, I don't know. When Oral Roberts ran South Dakota State out of the gym, what gym was that?
That was at Oral Roberts. So Oral Roberts still plays. Okay. They have this trip. They still play the South Dakota trip on the road, and they still play UMKC and St. Thomas on the road. So they have plenty of road games left.
I will say this, though. If they win tonight and beat the second best team in the league in their place, I think things become really complicated, because then you got to hope for some stuff to happen. And look, I get that everybody's only seven or eight games in. You got to have some stuff happen. You got to have some weird stuff happen, and you have to have the Bison go to Tulsa and win, which is something that they've done. And in fact, UMKC needed a half court heave from mid court Max to beat, or to lose that game. You know, Kansas City almost beat ORU in Tulsa. But I don't know that this Bison group is going down to the Maybe Center and getting a win. I mean, maybe, you know, that was an unintentional pun. But you got to win this game. If there's any hope of a regular season championship, which, boy, 3 weeks ago, even having this conversation would be hilarious. But I just think, man, boy, does ORU, because they're going to go to Grand Forks and just knock the hell out of UND. So now you're starting, you know, the season with a pretty substantial undefeated run. You know, maybe they'll lose in Brookings. Maybe they'll lose in Verm. I don't know. You know, there's a number of things. But if they don't lose this game, I think the road to the title becomes pretty self-evident. For the Golden Eagles, no question about that. We're gonna skip this next one. I'm sorry. I got into it. I just was annoyed. I'm still annoyed, by the way, that the fight was handled. That was kind of the first act of Summit League Commissioner Josh Fenton, and it was weak and ineffectual. And you know, they both sides the crap out of it and fined both coaches. And Oral Roberts lost like 1.25 competitor, and NDSU lost Bowden and Grant. I think lost that game. So yeah, that was just poor leadership from Josh Fenton in the wake of what happened, but we're not going to get into that. Okay. This I do want to get into. When ORU has the ball, and who are they starting? I would assume it's Max. I would assume that McBride starts. I would assume that Vanover starts. Let me see if I can get a recent box score here. Okay, so there are – so Azmus, Kareem, Vanover, McBride, and Juergens. Here's what I got, Nate. Here's what I've got. I've got Jakari on Max. I got Damari Wheeler-Thomas on McBride. I've got bow on Kareem Thompson, Grant on Juergens, and Morgan on Vanover, though I could be talked into something else with this is a thin Oral Roberts team, by the way, my God. Anyway, where are you at? Talk to me. How are you guarding this group? Because, by the way, so when I call this thin, I'm looking at an 81-69 victory at the Mabee Center over St. Thomas. And so that's a 12-point victory. That's fine. But I'm looking at 40 minutes for Max, 35 minutes for Kareem, 26 minutes for Vanover. By the way, those three guys, I don't even think have any eligibility left. 36 minutes from McBride, and then 18 from Juergens, 27 from Mwamba, and 14, Juergens starting, by the way. So here's your bench. 27 minutes from Mwamba, 14 from Weaver, and 4 for Phipps. Phipps being the little guard kid, 6'2", I think actually played at Oklahoma. Couldn't get playing time in Oklahoma and is not playing a ton for ORU. So who Nate, are you guarding with who?
I think Jakari on Max is what we've come to predict there. I think Bowden would start on McBride because he's probably the other guard that can really get it going. I think you can get away with Wheeler Thomas on a Juergens-type player who's going to shoot a bunch of threes, and he'll be able to stay in front of him and keep him out of the lane. Then you go Grant on Thompson and Morgan on Vanover. I think if Vanover starts hurting him from the three, you can probably switch Grant's 6'11 frame to kind of close out if he's kind of floating around the perimeter, and maybe NDSU goes small. Because like I said, besides Vanover, they don't really have a guy that's much taller than 6'8", 6'7". So yeah, matchups will be something. And I think Thompson, if I remember right, kind of floats around the perimeter. He's not really much of a guy who's going to blow by you. He kind of just sits there and waits for teams to focus in on Max and hits open shots. So I think the big thing for NDSU is, for as much as they want to focus on Max, these other guys can shoot threes and they can't just be left wide open shooting threes tonight.
Yeah, they can't. And that's why I was kind of thinking about Grant, his length, his athleticism. I don't know that Grant's going to get out muscled by Vanover. So I just don't know who you stick, especially if you're going to guard Juergens with DWT. I don't have any idea what you would do with Morgan defensively. And maybe the answer is small. Maybe the answer is Strite. Maybe the answer is Hostreiter. You know, maybe the answer is to Javis Bowden at the four playing to Javis. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, Nate, but it's going to be a fascinating one to watch, certainly, tonight at the Shack. By the way, if you're not already planning on going to the Shack, A, I don't know what you're doing listening to this show, but B, get there. These kids deserve it, man. 5-2 in the league with like I said, 53% of the scoring coming from first or second year guys, 70% of the minutes coming from first or second year guys. Man, you see what has happened, and I don't know that I should even get into this, but you see what's happened with the football program and the transfer portal. You've seen it with basketball. They haven't lost a ton of guys they didn't want to lose. I don't think they wanted to lose Malik Harden-Hayes. But other than that, and, you know, no disrespect to the Jackson Notechs and the Jarius Cooks of the world and stuff like that, but they were replaceable. They were, you know, the Bison were ready to move forward with those scholarships, your Odell Wilsons, your Namdi Van Dolms, et cetera, et cetera. Even, you know, Donald Carter and Willie Guy, just things that didn't work out. The Bison have not lost a Grant Nelson to the portal. They lost Sam Griesel, but Sam also walked on senior day and had no intention of coming back to NDSU, was going to play pro ball, and then some injuries basically forced him back to college, and he wanted to, you know, do the one thing in Nebraska. They haven't lost a guy that they've really wanted to keep in the portal. Now you have the second best team in the Summit League with a bunch of kids. Show them that they're supporting the community. You know, come pack the Shack. Show them that this could be a fun next 3-4 years, you know, before they're getting tampered with up in their Twitter DMs. Anyway, what would a win mean here, Nate? What would a W against Oral Roberts mean for this Bison group, having won 5 in a row coming into this game?
Yeah, I think it'd be huge. I think it most of all makes it a conference race. I think, like you talked about, if ORU wins this game, it kind of sets them apart from the rest of the league and probably a pretty easy regular season title, which, I mean, I know they have a lot of road games coming up, but for NDSU's sake, you got to win this home game against the conference leader if they want any chance at a regular season title. It'll be a huge game. I think a loss kind of makes it tough for them, and I don't want to say it's a must win. Obviously, you want to win a regular season title, but a win would be huge. It'd be nice to have a little race going on for the rest of the year, and it'll put some pressure on Oral Roberts to know that they can be beaten this league after starting 7-0, and put some pressure on them to win some road games if NDSU keeps playing.
Oh, some quick technical difficulties with Nate. We'll see if we can get him back while we're doing that. I'll go ahead with my prediction, my score prediction. I've got like Oral Roberts 78, NDSU 72. I think the Bison cover. And it's not that I don't believe in this team. I just don't know if they're ready to win this game. I also could see NDSU winning by like 10. I really could. Just the way the different ways. I think, you know, you're like I said, I'm not that impressed by a 12 point home win against St. Thomas. I'm not that impressed by just scraping past UMKC. An undefeated record in this league is a heavyweight, you know, a heavy weight to carry. And I just wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, drive Max insane and Vanover can't shoot over Grant and Bowden's clapping in people's faces and it could happen. But I'm going to take Oral Roberts. Nate, how about you?
I got 77-74 Bison. Hey! I think NDSU has the pieces defensively to make things tough for Oral Roberts, and I think they're going to hit shots and be pumped with a big crowd tonight.
I hope there's a big crowd tonight, man. I've already gotten on my soapbox, but these guys deserve this. No question about it. Okay. As we mentioned at the top of the show, the Bison Report Radio podcast is now brought to you by the Fargo Basketball Academy and Shoot 360. It's so much fun, guys. They've got classes, private lessons, small groups, team trainings for all skill levels. This includes, by the way, both basketball and volleyball, a beautiful facility down there on 52nd Avenue. And Shoot 360 is just the world's most advanced and cutting edge tech for basketball training in the world. Something I would have absolutely died for a membership for when I was a kid. Who knows how wet Nate Zastro's jumper would have been with Shoot 360 and for that robot thing. Tracking his percentages and rebounding for him. And my goodness, just so much fun over at Shoot 360. Go visit my friend Josh Johnson or his lovely wife, Katie, and check them out at fargobasketball.com. UMKC, they've got a new coach. What can you tell us, Nate, with Billy Donlan no longer in the fold?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because they seem to be like their teams have been the past few years. They're gonna be physical on defense. They're a bit undersized. They play extremely hard. They're a so-so offensive team, averaging 66.3 overall, 70.7 in the league. They're giving up the least amount of points per game, ranking first in the league so far at 63 a game. So, yeah, they're going to be a good defensive team. They force 13 turnovers a game. And NDSU's had their struggles with UMKC the past few years, and we talk about matchups in this league, and UMKC's been a tough one for NDSU, especially scoring on them because of their physicality and what they're able to get away with, it seems like, every time we play them.
Yeah, and that was kind of my big deal. You mentioned the 13.3 turnovers per game, and it just seems like it's defense, but in a completely different way. You know, Richmond has always talked about defending without fouling and that being a huge deal. And the Bison under Richmond for years have not jumped into passing lanes. And now they have the length and I think kind of the personnel to dog the ball in a way that they maybe haven't had in the past. But that has just not been the way UMKC does it. UNKC will jump and will hack and will swipe and will swat until they've got 10 team fouls. And that's, I'm not necessarily ridiculing that, but the way that they are If they get the frost treatment, like you saw that with one of the really good UMKC teams that probably should have won a game down in frost, but they got the frost treatment. They got officiated the way that you do when you play South Dakota State at South Dakota State, and the Bunnies shot free throws the entire time. So if you get in a situation where these officials are going to call fouls, the Bison might be shooting free throws. Now, with this Bison group, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but something definitely to pay attention to on Saturday. Ray Mitchell, the UIC transfer, 18.6 per game in 35 minutes. What does Ray Mitchell do well, Nate?
Yeah, he's a 6'5 guard. He's actually from Blaine, Minnesota, so a little closer to home, might have some family at the game, and he's playing 35 minutes a game. So they have two guards with him and Shamari Allen who each play 35 minutes, so they're not going to come off the floor much. It'll be important to just make things tough for him. He's shooting a pretty decent percentage. I had just had this pulled up. You know, he's going to shoot a bunch. Neither of those guys are shooting a great percentage, 36% from the floor, 31 from the three, but shoots 81% from the line. So over half his shots are from three. So I'm guessing the ball is going to be in his hands plenty. Probably a Jakari matchup again, and hopefully they can make things tough. 18.6 a game and 16.4 for Shamari Allen, who we know from last year.
Yeah, one guy that you might have, you know, like McKissick or whomever you might have thought, especially with the coach turnover, that you might not see again, but loyal to KC. Jeff Nandu, freshman from the Congo, 17 rebounds the last two games, 10-9 on offense, cleaning up the glass. Big challenge for Morgs and for Grant Nelson, no question about it.
Yeah, I think I put that they're averaging like 13 offensive rebounds a game. So, I mean, that's going to be a huge key for NDSU. The next closest team in the league, I think, averages 10. So they're pretty far ahead there. And obviously a big part has to do with the Gandu kid. But they're going to be physical. They play hard, and NDSU needs to be ready to match their physicality and especially win the glass in that one.
For sure, and it's been an advantage for the Bison, certainly over the last couple of weeks. You watch what they have been able to do against Denver, against Omaha, and it's been impressive. It's definitely been impressive, but there's some length here. I don't know that the 7'2" kid plays yet from Senegal, but Nandu is 6'9". Mukeba Jr. 6'7". Like I said, I don't know necessarily that that the 7'2" kid plays yet, but they got another kid. They've got two other kids, Promise Idiaru and Precious Idiaru. Looks like twin brothers, both 6'9". Again, I'm not 100% locked in on like who's getting minutes here, but there is some length on this squad, and you got to be impressed with, like you said, the offensive rebounding numbers. Big challenge for Morgan and for Nelson, and honestly even for Bowden Scumberg, has become more of a rebounding, you know, force for North Dakota State. Up and down team, you know, they beat in common opponent Indiana State by 2. NDSU got run out of the building by the Sycamores. They lost to ORU, as we mentioned, on a half court heave. Really played well against St. Thomas and USD, but they have losses to both Western and Denver. Very tough team to peg. And, I guess, you know, well, I think if NDSU beats Oral Roberts tonight, there might be an emergency pod to dance on some graves, or I don't know what we'll do, but, in case there's not another podcast between now and Saturday, give me your UMKC prediction.
You know, it's always been low-scoring games with them, and I think it's going to be in the 60s. I think NDSU, if they win tonight, I think that's a game. Hopefully they're ready and learn from last year. Obviously, it hurt not having Bowden and Grant. I think it was the first half last year. But I think we got 68-62 Bison on Saturday if they get the win tonight.
Yeah, I think NDSU will at least split this home series. I really don't see them getting swept at home. So if I'm going to pick Oral Roberts tonight, I'm definitely going to pick the Bison over a 3-3 UMKC squad at home as well. And again, that one might hinge on officiating. I don't want to make any, you know, excuses, especially before the game has even been made. But if it's officiated like a normal game and they hack and they get, you know, normal calls and send the Bison to the line, should be an NDSU victory, because it is kind of a scrappier Very athletic, but maybe not that skilled group at KC. That is sort of how I would describe them. Nate, I want to thank you for your time today. I want to thank our sponsors, Tundra Insurance and Fargo Basketball Academy, Shoot 360. I want to thank all of you wonderful people for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody. And go Bison.